Hi everybody, this is Crypto Rich, working with you to get rich with crypto, filling our pockets with crypto profits. I am with Crypto Red Fox. Ben Fairbank is the general manager of Komodo. He's also the CEO of Red Fox. Now, before I introduce him, I want to let you know this is not, what is it not? It's not investment advice. Do your own due diligence. Do not invest any more than you can afford to lose. And all I'm doing in this video and all my other videos is sharing with you what I'm discovering as I travel along on the blockchain. There you go. Now, please subscribe, hit the notification bell, all that stuff, comment, notifications, subscriptions, any likes, everything else. Yes?
Yes.
Yes, that's right. And, yeah, you know how to do that because you have your own YouTube channel. Perhaps you could come and do it better than I do. Benny, thank you so much for making yourself available. This video is going to go out on Friday the 12th of April, which is the day of the IEO, the initial exchange offering for Red Fox. We're going to talk about that in a moment. And I'm just going to say what Red Fox is. And I've covered Red Fox before in my video on my channel. I have a link at the end of the description. You are the general manager of Komodo. Red Fox is a blockchain starter venture capital fund. You find great
venture builder,
that's it. You find great projects that are non-blockchain. You import them to Southeast Asia where you're based, and you use the blockchain to make them way more efficient, find a great team to launch the product, and then you let it go at great profit and success. Yes?
That's the aim,
that's right. Unicorn builders
unicorn
is what you'd
exactly.
Very good.
Exactly.
Anything I've missed out or you want to add?
I guess just that it provides an enterprise layer and level to be able to build on Komodo's open source platform and tech.
Yes. Because, it's all built on top of Komodo. And
it
you,
is.
Yes. And, okay, anything you want to say a little bit about yourself and your connection between both organizations?
Sure. So I've been GM for Komodo now for about 18 months, and obviously Komodo's come a long way. During the bear market, a lot of projects sort of stalled and vanished, and Komodo put its head down and kept building and delivering on what it had promised to deliver on. And Komodo, it's got to that point now where it's a lot of that end-to-end tech is finished,
mm-hmm.
and now we need to see some quality products, and there's some coming from within Komodo, being built out on the technology to really showcase what it can do. Red Fox provides an opportunity to build full-scale and operational companies on top of the technology. So the connection and affiliation between the two, although they are separate companies, is very closely linked because we only build on Komodo tech. So if it is possible to do on Komodo, then we're trying to find a way to integrate that into a business. And we don't look to use the technology of any of the other platforms. It's just
right.
Komodo.
Right. And is there a particular... The reason for that is because you're allied to Komodo or because you think Komodo is better than any other equivalent platform blockchain? Or both?
I think personally, and I'm biased, of course, I think Komodo is better than any other, which is why I'm allied to Komodo. So when I originally got into cryptocurrency and blockchain, I looked for a long, long time, and then eventually Komodo came along, and I thought to myself, this has got probably the greatest chance of being the first platform to really sort of make it and to get toward mass adoption with what it's planning on doing and what it can do. So I was naturally gravitated towards that, and then as time's gone on, I've just thought for many, many hours and months on how we can expedite that adoption and how we can take that to the next level. So Red Fox seemed like an obvious choice because it is the Red Hat to Linux, with Komodo being Linux reference, and it gives us an opportunity to build great companies out on open source protocol.
Fabulous. That's great. Okay, and I know that there are some very, very exciting things that have already come out of the Komodo ecosystem and more to come as well. Yes, and
yes,
I should be getting in touch with one of your colleagues to find out. So for those of you who want to know more about Komodo, you should subscribe, comment, like, and stuff, because there is going to be more Komodo stuff coming up on this channel. Okay, so and I know some of the money that Red Fox raises is going to go into the Komodo project, because Komodo's open source. It's a way that to sustaining that project and its developments, because they give away everything they do through the open source. Okay. And then if after having done their own due diligence, people want to participate, not that this is investment advice, what might they get out of participating? And not so much, oh, this, you know, Red Fox will be worth one Bitcoin each in a year's time. Not like that, but what's the value proposition?
Yeah, sure. So first of all, as you said, Komodo does get 10% of the token supply, and that is not technical debt in any way, shape or form. What it is it's a contribution to building out of the ecosystem, and as you said, to help make sure that there is funds coming in to be able to do things that and attract new developers and expedite the build out of the technology, because that's in our best interest as well. Because if we're going to be building on top of Komodo's technology, we want it to be progressing at a rapid rate and to be able to keep up with our demands and needs as well. So everybody wins from that. But as far as the value proposition for Red Fox is concerned, is Red Fox will build companies that sometimes will not require a token. It'll just be a chain, for example. Mm. So, for example, as everybody knows, Komodo is they have their own independent chain. So if you launch a project on Komodo, you get your own independent chain. And then it's got all cool sorts of things like delayed proof of work to protect it from 51% attacks. But we might build a business, and let's just say it's an ice cream shop, and the ice cream shop may not have any need for a token. And we don't want to create tokens or coins purely for the sake of saying, let's just create a new token. There's too many of them. God knows there's thousands of them. So what we're saying is information that takes place in the form of the transaction, whether that be reporting of the flavor of ice cream, the time of day, the geography, the age of the customer, whatever it might be, whatever type of transaction we need to record back to the blockchain, that can be facilitated by using the Red Fox token, and it doesn't require you to be able to, or you to produce a new coin. So therefore, the end user doesn't even know that they're necessarily using blockchain. So they can come along, pay in fiat, go through something that they're very familiar and used to, leave, they've finished that transaction, but everything has been recorded or transactions have been placed on the blockchain, and that person doesn't even know they're using it. Now, where that's an advantage is, at the moment, it's really difficult to get a wallet set up to work out how to trade on an exchange. And I know you've been around for a while as well, but every single time you send money, if it's a significant amount, and when I say significant, that's different for every person, but if it's more than 1,000 or 2,000, you press send and you sit there for the first 10 seconds and think, and you're clicking refresh on the Blockchain Explorer and you're seeing not yet processed, and you're thinking, come on, and then it says one transaction, and you think, yes, and then you go, is it the right address?
That's right.
there's a lot of, and there's no take backs. So there's still a lot of people who are a little bit apprehensive, and then we get this whole, this exchange got hacked, this exchange had this happen, and this exchange had this happen, and people say, you know what, I'm just going to sit it out until it's safe, it's easy to use, it's regulated, it's backed, it's insured. But the fact is that the technology can do a lot more than people think it can now.
Mm.
And why produce a coin for the sake of producing a coin? It doesn't need to be that way. So the projects that we would build under us, not all of them will require that coin. So the value proposition is the more that we build out and the more transactions that are taking place, the more the RFox token is going to be required.
Right. Very good. Just increasing demand and a limited supply. Okay. Correct. And is there going to be anything like, it's not a security, it's going to be a utility.
No.
So it's just the gain in the capital value of the coin.
Yes, correct. There's no dividends or profit sharing or anything like that. It's a straight utility token. And it would be predominantly used as a transaction token in the ecosystem.
Okay, so let's say you find...
The more it would be transacted.
Okay, so let's say you find this project, you copy a particular model, say, that's very popular in the UK, there's plenty of room...
Name anyone.
Oh, I can't think of any right now. I don't know, actually, I didn't prepare. But in my first video, the explainer video, I go through some unicorns, right? And a unicorn is a startup with a privately owned company with a valuation greater than $1 billion. It's considered a unicorn, So you take a potential unicorn in the UK, you say, okay, we're going to use Vietnam because Vietnam's got a growing economy and it's pioneer economic territory.
And there's a demand for them. We can see that there's a clear take-up rate and willingness for that particular business in London.
Right.
The UK, but but it's not either prevalent here or it's not prominent enough to be able to meet the demands of the actual users. So we're looking for rapid growth business models that are in low supply and high demand.
Right. Okay. All right. So very good. Thank you. And then, so then you find a great team of people to set it up in Vietnam, for example. They set it up. You have a team of people that coach them, support them, plus all the technical support that you have. Use the blockchain to give the project in Vietnam competitive advantage. And then after 9 months, you exit.
Actually, 200 days.
200 days. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if the project falls flat, or as soon as you leave, they go, Ben, don't leave us. We can't live without you. And then it falls flat.
Well, that's a good question. It's a great question. So the thing is that part of our process is dependent upon making sure that we're finding people who are experts in those particular areas. So one of the 9 points of our 9-point funnel system for when we're working out which type of business to build out is we look at, can we find adequate and talented staff in the region or attract them to the region and be able to facilitate and run this business? Now, let's just say, for example, we did McDonald's. Mm-hmm. I'll choose something global that everybody knows. We would be looking at someone who wasn't necessarily the CEO of McDonald's, but we would look at this, maybe a COO that's looking for their shop to be a CEO.
Right.
They've been a CEO of a rival company to McDonald's, and they understand the industry, they understand the region, they understand the language. We would find that pinnacle person is extremely important to find, and then we build a team around that particular person, because ultimately those people get a percentage of the equity, and those people are needing to be competent and confident in the vision and mission that's laid out. So they need to come on fairly early in the piece. So for the first 100 days, we build the product, and we already say we've got this concept. We find someone who's behind it, who's capable of rolling it out, and someone who's extremely passionate about making it successful, because they get a financial reward from that. And then what we say is, within 100 days, we must have gone to market. So we have to have a clear plan on releasing the product to the market. The next 100 days, once it's been released, is us with the team looking at the reflection on what worked, what didn't work. Have we grown the way we should have grown? How do we grow faster? Now, this is where we're experts. This is where we've excelled in real-world businesses and commercial businesses in the past. Now, what we're doing is we're saying we're going to utilize the blockchain experience we have, and we're going to bring that to these models that we're very familiar and very comfortable with running. So the second 100 days, as I say, is more reflection, building that 2 to 3 year strategy out, making sure the guys are fully equipped, that they've got enough finance, they've got enough capital, they've got enough resources, they've got the right people around them, and they're partnered in with the right people to be able to scale at a rapid pace. Because the objective is, unless it can scale to $25 million in revenue, and we can show that on paper within the first 4 years, we don't bother starting to build it.
Right.
So
right.
We've got a very clear plan and structure, and the chances of it failing are much lower because we know the model works, and the key dependent is making sure that we get the right team in place.
Sure. Okay. It is a little bit like you're not reinventing the wheel. You're taking the wheel from one place. We know the wheel goes round. We don't have wheels here, so let's get a team of people to get the wheel going, right? But even so, 100 days, 200 days, is that really, can you really get it done in that time?
Yeah, because the thing is, we're lucky in the sense that we've got finished tech. We're lucky in the sense that we've had 8 months to a year to choose 3 projects that we know would scale and would work in the region. We've already got those mapped in our heads as though those businesses already exist.
Oh.
So what we've been working on this for a long time. So now all we need to do is literally get the people in. We already know the tech can do what we need it to do. It's a matter of now putting a nice GUI on the front. So we've got design teams that we've already worked with. And what we do is we'd say, guys, this is what we need you to do. Explain it very clearly. Make them understand what we're looking at building. And then we go about, let's get the team together, let's get the culture together, let's explain how it works, and let's build the groundwork. Now, even though we haven't started building those companies out, we've started already ourselves going and laying the foundation for partnerships for people, for example, like payment gateways and local e-money wallets in the region where you can't get more licenses. So we've already started having those meetings, and people would say, why? You haven't even started building the companies. What we don't want it to be, like you say, is the first 100 days is like everyone's on fire and we're running around saying, what the hell do we do? We've had so long to think about this, and we understand we need these core relationships in place, so we've started building these. So what people are going to see is partnerships form quickly, and they're going to think, how did that happen?
Mm-hmm.
Well, how much did they pay for that to happen? But we've been in this region collectively for a couple of decades now. And we've got Brian Koo on board, who is a co-founder of Gojek, Grab and Zalora, which are unicorns in the region. And there's not that many of them, to be honest. And so he's a startup expert, so he knows how to get the teams and the people and finance and all the rest of it in. And we've been very particular about who we choose to come on as advisors and on our team. And as you know, we've brought across the technical side from Komodo, and we've got a very strong legal representative because we have to set up a lot of corporations and entities. So we've been very meticulous about this, and we didn't press the button until we were ready to go. So what might appear to some people as though this has just popped up out of nowhere, mm-hmm. and it must be just like for money or whatever. A, it's in the middle of the bear market. We still haven't had that. And it looks like it's a little, getting a little bit better. But B, you don't just slap a plan this big together and involve the types and get the people that we've got involved to say yes in a down market without any planning, without any forethought. This is something that's taken a long time. We've been whispering in people's ears for a long time, saying, when we start, will you be ready to join us?
Very good. Okay, very, very good. All right. And can you say what these three projects are? Or
yeah, hint? Sure.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so the first one is similar to, not in any order.
Okay.
The three are, the first one is very similar to VIP Kid, which is a $3 billion company in China.
VIP Kid?
Yeah, sounds okay. Weird. Chinese company. What they do is it's a mobile app, and gone are the bricks and mortar days of kids going into classrooms to learn English. You can press a button and you can have live one-on-one coaching with a teacher in America or England. You get rid of bricks and mortar. You don't need to bring people into the country, and you can now service the provincial areas where you could never previously
wow.
get white teachers to go into the country, move to these provinces with no facilities or infrastructure to house people that are used to high class amenities. So suddenly we get rid of bricks and mortar, reduce capex. The issue and the reason that these haven't really existed here before is, how do you protect the IP?
Mm.
How do you stop people writing the materials and just running it themselves? There's a lot of fraud with false certifications. Blockchain can verify certifications. It can make it can actually store those on the blockchain. We can actually protect IP. We can make it so that we can collect payments through provincial areas
wow.
through blockchain technology. So that's the first one.
Okay.
Second one is a company that some people would have heard of called Ping An. And Ping An, or PING-AN, is the second most profitable company in China. And it is an aggregator for insurance. It's known as an insurance company, but it also has finance as well. It's even got its own bank and lending and all the rest of it. Now, if you look at a region with high GDP and massive growth, Vietnam has the highest amount of new millionaires per capita of anywhere in the world. So you've got this burgeoning middle class structure coming through, and these guys are now getting very interested in, how do we insure ourselves? How do we look after our health? How do we get loans? How do we get financing? How do we structure that? So there's a distinct absence of good sources and materials for people to go to and places to go to aggregate and find which are the best tools for this. And the third one is a combination, a hybrid of something a bit like Twitch, more focused on the esports and e-gaming. Esports is going to be classed as an actual game in the 2022 Asian Games, so it's mm-hmm. now officially recognized as a sport. So you know that we've just done a partnership with Commodore 64 and also Commodore 64, and also with Arc Lega, who is the designer of H1Z1 Battle Royale. We're going heavy into gaming like Komodo has, and this is the region to be in if you
yes.
want to be into these games. So they're the three. I'm going to keep that one a little bit under wraps because our model has to be slightly a hybrid blend of a couple of different models, because gambling is no-no here. And we want to really focus on the gaming, on the blockchain gaming side, so we can still reward people. They don't have to put up the gambling. They can earn rewards through NFT and through other various methods, thanks to these wonderful CC contracts.
Very good. Okay, very good. Very interesting. So then, all right, so then what happens? Let's say that, I mean, I can certainly see the demand for the first one. Actually, I can see the demand for the second one and the third one, right? You've obviously done your homework, but I know, you know, in the rest of the non-English speaking world, there is this insatiable hunger for people to learn English.
Well, in this day and age, especially in this region, it's really quite often tied to wealth and prosperity.
Mm.
If it's considered, if you can speak English, then you've got a much bigger head start on people around you in life. So Every kid, every parent wants to get their kid into Cambridge or Harvard or one of these big top flight universities. And unless you get an amazing score on your IELTS or your English scores, it's very, very difficult to get in. Yeah. And people falsify their records. So this is an obvious one for us. And I was the CEO of an English language school for the upper class people here in Vietnam. It has 30 schools. And so I'm very familiar with the system and the product and how it works. So these are things that we don't necessarily think they're the three funnest business.
Yeah.
This isn't the one. But we don't choose businesses because they're fun. We choose businesses because they met the strict criteria.
Yeah. And I can. And I can certainly see how the language version, that one, can roll out into other parts of Asia, into India, Indonesia, Pakistan, Bangladesh.
Of course.
See that.
And,
very good.
And you can have chat apps, and you can have lots of different things that help to form a super dApp. Because you're talking about finance and insurance and language, chat, you're talking about gaming, sports. They're all things that bring people together and build communities. And if you think about it, the only reason that any of these super dApps and super apps exist is to collect data. It's all about metadata and collecting information and storing information, and it's valuable. And the thing is that all of these projects gravitate around community and people.
Very good, very good. Okay, so let's say, so that all goes, you do the IEO, it's all go with that. Let's just talk about the language one, and that all goes, and then after 200 days you exit, and that one needs, will that one need to use Red Fox coins?
It depends. The thing is that it would inevitably use our coins to process the transactions.
Right.
Yes, but like, for example, in Vietnam, for example, let's just say it existed in Vietnam, it is illegal to pay for anything with cryptocurrency, but cryptocurrencies, buying and trading cryptocurrencies, is fine, and blockchain technology is actually applauded and supported by the government. But nothing can try to threaten or replace the national currency of the dong.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some countries in the region are the same. So we're not going to try and replace the dong and get ourselves into hot water, because that's not what we're trying to do. It's more about the processing of information, the transacting of, the keeping of records, the storing of authenticity of people's results against what they did, the testing,
right.
the IP of the content of the language courses that we teach and where we're up to. So this is much more about the transactions than it is about the actual coins.
Right. So, okay. So then what will happen as that business spreads and grows and grows and grows, the value of the RFOX coins will go up.
Yeah, well, what will happen is every single time there's a transaction, RFOX will be needed to process that transaction for the reward. So, yes, that will become more demanded. I can't talk about value, but that's the plan.
Yeah.
Utilized, yes.
Yeah, more yeah. Utilized. Very good. Okay. All right. Now, now you're doing an initial exchange offering. You were going to be with CoinBene. It's going out on yes. CoinEel. Do you want to say a little yes. bit about what an IEO is and why the change from one to another?
Sure. So the IEOs, as we know, are very much the fad, the flavor of the month. Being honest, I'm not sure how long they'll last. I think all these new things are quite gimmicky and all the rest of it, but effectively we keep finding new ways to package things that we've been doing for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
We were going with CoinBene purely because Komodo had an established relationship with CoinBene, and it was a top 10 exchange, and everything was going really nicely. They came out to our office and met with us, and we thought that was a pretty touching thing to have the guys fly over and the CEO come over and see us. We thought that was a big vote of confidence, and we were a bit wooed by that, to be honest, because mm-hmm. the others were sort of like, fill out an application and get in line, which we did, and they were like, yeah, we might have you if you pay the right amount of money.
Right.
Whereas CoinBene was much more of, we'd love to have you and we'd love to work with you. But as we all know, there was an incident that was an alleged hack that saw about 105 million plus go out of wallets, and some of those wallets are still under maintenance, and money was being moved to decentralized exchanges and sold. They advised people that the money was not a hack, that it's wallet maintenance, and the balances of people's wallets have been restored. But the sheer volume of the voices around us said, you have to change.
Right.
You can't have us send, and this is the argument that won us. You can't have us send money into an exchange to buy your coins to then have that money held in maintenance.
Right.
So don't make us send our money somewhere we can't get it back out again. So I said, okay, So what we did was we changed very last minute, and we changed to a relatively unknown exchange that, according to CoinMarketCap, is the top 10 in, as far as volume is concerned. But as I always say, what does volume mean these days?
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest. But Coinio was a surprise for us because they're locally based. They're strong in Vietnam and China. And this is our backyard. And the interesting thing about them was we got onto them and started talking to them, and they were back to us within 20 minutes. Anyone who's registered for the IEO said that the KYC and everything has been processed in 45 minutes or less. You send a message on their Telegram group and it's banged straight back and resolved. So regardless of anything else, we found the level of service to be something that we hadn't experienced before. And we thought, for us, it's about the project, not the exchange. So we're happy to go with something that's a little bit lesser known, even though it is still a top 10 exchange. And we're happy to take a risk and go with these guys. And so far, they've been extremely hands-on and extremely helpful with the whole process. So it might seem a bit disruptive. It's cost us only 4 days in timeline, but we're ahead. We're away.
Okay, very good. Well, let's have a look, and then you can talk us through it. The Coinio website. And I'm just going to get rid of me and have just you. Here we go, Coinio. So if someone wants to take part in the IEO after having done their own due diligence, of course.
Mm-hmm. Click on the launch pad.
Click on launch pad. Mm-hmm. What is this XCon? Is this their own coin? Do they have their own coin?
No, I think that's another, yeah, they do. It's called the NEO, NEAL.
Okay.
Now if you page down a little bit.
Yep. Ah.
There she is, right where you're must be love. You've got your hand on it. So there we go.
That's right. RFox, blockchain venture builder and startup studio. And it says session supply, 15 million session supply. So from the 12th to the 15th,
yep.
It goes on.
15 million for 5 cents. And then this is the part where people say, this is weird. From the 17th to the 19th, we've got 35 million and they're for the same price. And people have said, why would you do two at the same price? Why don't you do a bonus or make it more expensive? The issue is that we were so plagued by people saying they can't get in on OKEx or Binance or any of these other ones, that what we thought we'd do is give people two opportunities with differing supplies,
right?
And give people an opportunity to get in two times. So if they miss out on the first time, they can potentially get in on the second time. So we've been very, very mindful of the fact that people were not serviced well in the previous IEOs, and we're trying to give people that opportunity.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, and then to take part, it says here, 50 US, you have to pay with USDT.
Mm-hmm. That's the only one. Now, I'll tell you why we chose USDT, because people might say, why not use Komodo or Bitcoin? Because we want to make sure that both sessions are 5 cents and that no one's disadvantaged, the price of Bitcoin is fluctuating too much at the moment. So what we've decided to do is have it pegged against the USDT, because that way we know that everyone's paying 5 cents per coin.
Right.
So you can change whatever you've sent to the exchange, because they've got quite a huge variation of different types of coins, and you can just change that to whichever currency that you like.
Okay, and there's a minimum investment of 50 USDT. 50
yep.
USDT. United States people cannot participate, and you've got to go through KYC. And then also
KYC is the same as the exchange KYC. So it's like you can use a driver's license. You don't even need to use a passport. It's a very simple process. And as I say, it's been happening within about 45 minutes for people that have been going in there so far.
Okay, and then there's a referral code that people can get if they want to pass it on to other people, and other information here. So I'll have some of these links in the description below. Definitely the Red Fox link and the Red Fox Telegram group, because you're almost always on Telegram. So if you want to reach out to Bitcoin Benny, join the Red Fox.
People ask me why I'm not Discord more, but we saw last year that quite a number of Discord channels were hacked and the information was being leaked out of them, so that scared me, and I stick to Telegram because I know it's encrypted.
Yes, very good, very good. Alright, so that's that. Anything else you want to say about the IEO?
No, that's all. I mean, just looking forward to your support, and I know that a lot of people have gone and registered and sent screenshots of the fact they've completed that, so we're just overwhelmed with you know, well wishes and so many people wishing us the best of success, and so we're very grateful for that.
Great, and and there's a countdown here. I think it's at noon or 1 o'clock.
It depends if you're BST, UTC, GMT.
UST, what is it? UTC?
I don't know. You don't know? Yes, yeah, 2 p.m. UTC, which is...
Okay. All right. Well, you should just check the countdown anyway. And when big exchanges? And when will it be tradable so that people can...
So we've already got some... so it'll be tradable on the 23rd. So the last sale will finish on the 19th. And then we're already expecting to go on some other exchanges around the same time as that that are top flight exchanges. We've got one that's a very seasoned, been around for a long time exchange as well. It's a heavyweight, but it'll be around that same time.
Okay. Well, that's quite something because people always want to know.
Of course they do.
That's right. I can sell my...
I mean, I can see it from the investor's perspective as well, because they want to know that it's going to be on good exchanges, but there's also a lot of people who just want to try and flip and do the 3X and the 4X. So my advice is always with these types of things that are quite speculative is don't buy it if you want to get like a 3X flip straight away, because that's not what we want to be about. What we want to be about is building something long-term and sustainable. So we'd prefer to have people that want to stay with us and watch us grow.
Absolutely, because that's long-term value. I mean, there are people that sold their Google shares and their Apple shares, and they sold Bitcoin after a few days instead of holding on.
Yes, 3X.
That's right. My 3 cents of Bitcoin is now worth 9 cents.
Yeah, exactly. And if they had held it for a few years, they could have added a few zeros on the end of that.
That's right. Ben, anything else you want to say?
No, that's all. I think you've covered it all. Thank you very, very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, listen, thank you. Really, really enjoy having you on. And you will, just to let you know, and I said this to Ben before we started recording, I've actually written to the smart contract of my channel that Ben will be coming back. So we'll be following this project and plus, of course, Komodo projects. If you have any comments, questions, you need to do the KYC real quick if you're going to get onto this, right? Please put them in the description below, comments, questions, subscribe, notification bell, all that business. And between now and then, this is Crypto Rich and Crypto Ben signing out. All the best. Bye-bye.
Thank you. See you.